Hello, I'm Mariet Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to a wide range of wellness professionals ready to inform and inspire. Today's topic is Meet Your Gut, Key to Your Health and Happiness. My guest is Dr. Francois du Toit, naturopath, wellness coach and holistic health practitioner from George. Welcome, Francois.
Thank you, Mariette. It's an honor to be with you.
To our listeners, during our conversation, Francois will give us practical tips on how to support our gut in the best way. And after our conversation, it will be fun question time. Francois, could you tell us what your work entails?
It's something I'm still figuring out myself. In this line of work, holistic medicine, it's amazing to have started so wide and kind of like narrowed down to what I'm passionate about. I would say that the work that I'm doing mostly now is wellness coaching, which is to say that I support people into overcome the challenges that I faced and offer them solutions that they apply to their own lives to see even greater health outcomes that I could have ever seen in my life. And I'm based from George, and I primarily offer massage therapy and Chinese acupuncture for my clients.
Francois, the gut-brain connection is mentioned very often these days. Would you say we attach too little importance to the gut?
I think for the first time in human history, we've actually put a nice spotlight on this subject. The amount of research that has come out in the last 20 years is astonishing to show how important the gut-brain connection is. That being said, to answer your question, yes, in terms of the mainstream amount of coverage the subject is getting, we are definitely not talking or thinking about the subject enough.
I've heard you say that being born by C-section can influence our gut.
Yes, so this touches on a very sensitive subject for a lot of mothers. One of the things that I recognize is that because of the, I had a discussion last week with a medical doctor, Dr. Gary Lowe, who's also a doula, and she supports women to give birth naturally. And what I've seen is that because of the way that society and medical care has failed women, unfortunately, almost many of them steer towards needing to have a C-section, and that's necessary and life-saving for the mother and the child. But when we support the body naturally, natural birth or VBAC is going to be the norm, and it's going to be the best and most beautiful experience the mother can possibly have. And as a result, when the baby is born vaginally, they are inoculated by the vaginal flora, which is the best and most important microbiome that they can actually receive from their mother as a gift, as opposed to a C-section where their microbiome is inoculated by all the different microbes that are just wandering in the air or in the hospital or wherever the C-section is done.
Yeah, so there's a huge difference, and I don't think we know about that.
It's a genetic inheritance. So if you think about the microbiome as being the dominant percent of our genetics, if we compare it this way, we are something in the range of 1 billion human cells and in the range of 10 billion microbial cells. Now, that's not just the gut microbiome. That's all the different bacteria that live as part of the body. But a major part of that contribution of the microbiome is from the gut. And that means we are outnumbered 10 to 1. Now, if you now realize is that the amount of genetic diversity from those microbes are 99% of our genetics, 1% genetics coming from DNA, human DNA, 99% coming from the bacteria, viruses, and fungi, you can imagine what a contribution in genetics it is to have the vaginal flora inoculating you and contributing from your mom the gift of her genetics and the strengths and benefits that unfold from there. That means it's huge. It's really important.
And if you talk about this genetic inheritance, are you now talking about what happens during birth, or does this get added to later in life?
This is the contribution from our environment. In this sense, we're talking about the vaginal birth inoculating the gut, but our environment informs all the different microbes that live in, on, and throughout the body, and that's 99% of our genetics.
I see. So the vaginal birth just gives well, I don't know if it's right to say it gives a baby a head start, but it's a very good way to start.
It's one of the best ways of saying it. I would emphasize to say it gives the baby the best head start because of the role that the microbiome plays in strengthening the immune system, priming the immune system to respond in a healthy way because of the bacteria that you inherited from your mother. And the same with, you know, many women will go the cesarean section route, and that's okay because breastfeeding then inoculates and feeds the microbiome, which is, let's say, in terms of the research, the most important contribution to the immune system. Because especially the first milk, the colostrum, the thick milk, is really the highest concentration of immunoglobulins and natural immune boosting factors that the baby needs to thrive. So that's probably in the sense of immune strength, the more important thing to emphasize, please, to all the women and ladies out there, go on a journey of natural support. Support the doulas and the natural birth practitioners and doctors, and the breast care support, you could say, sisters and doulas, because that is really important. And women need that support, because as soon as you have a situation where there's stress and uncertainty, the breast milk is cut out. That happened to me growing up. It's part of the reason why I went in such a bad direction of my health.
Yeah. Before we go back to the microbiome, because I'm sure there may be some listeners like me who are not quite sure what it is. Before I ask you that question, could you just tell us about the gut challenges you had as a child?
Thank you for asking. So for the first 2 years of my life, I battled severely with colic. That's debilitating cramps in the gastrointestinal tract or the gut. I was a vaginal birth. But I recognized that as the second child, I've got a sister 4 years older than me. The amount of stress that my mom perceived in that time of her life when they were also moving from one part of South Africa to another, within, I think, 4 months, my mom couldn't produce breast milk anymore because of stress. And that's my assumption, but that's pretty much been what the family has communicated to me. And then being introduced to formula cow's milk is really what started devastating my gut. Mm. So the formula feed is already a lot of processed ingredients, preservatives and additives, and meaning it's almost like what we consider as the highly, highly processed food. So it causes a lot of gut irritation. And then to add insult to injury, you're adding ultra-pasteurized cow's milk, meaning it's dead milk. And that just causes a whole cascade of allergic reactions that I believe contributed to the first 2 years of my life being so, so sick. And I especially developed debilitating chronic middle ear infections over and over and over again. Tried the best doctors. I saw about 4 doctors, I think, and specialist pediatricians. Ended up in hospital to have my ears drained, called grommets. Yeah, and it was just a tough time for my mom, especially, and my family. And it was from that space that my mom heard about a homeopath. And that was her first introduction to a natural medicine doctor. And this amazing gentleman, where I was born here in George, told my mom that, you know, you should go off this formula cow's milk. I think this is the culprit. And he put me onto freshly squeezed carrot juice. This is when I was 2 years old. My mom or our family couldn't afford a juicer, so she grated the carrots by hand.
Goodness.
And squeezed it out through a muslin cloth to fold 2 glasses of freshly squeezed carrot juice for me every single day for one entire month. And when the homeopath saw me again, he's like, wow, his health has transformed. And he looked to my mom and he actually told her, Joy, I'm so thankful to you. I want to thank you on Francho's behalf, because most patients don't follow my advice so strictly and so well as she did, because she's such a disciplined and such a practical and loving mom, that because of what you've done, this is why Francho is getting well so fast. And, you know, that was what started us on a path of health recovery. I wasn't cured within a month, but over the course of that year, when I was 3 years old, it was like 90% of all my health conditions had disappeared.
Yeah, and you contribute this largely to gut health.
Yes. So the culprit in there's always more than one. This is one thing that's important in holistic medicine, is that it's never just one thing. People always want the magic bullet. But in our case, we could put a finger on that the formula cow's milk was a tremendous allergen and irritant for my gastrointestinal tract. And switching to freshly squeezed medicinal carrot juice one of the best superfoods in the world, one of the most nutritious drinks in the entire world, contributed tremendously to nourishing me with all the vitamins and minerals I ever needed, and it aided me in healing my gut as well.
And now we come to my question. Could you please explain to us what the term microbiome means?
So the microbiome, let's explain this by using an analogy. If you look at a forest, an indigenous forest, you're looking not at one type of tree. You're not just looking at sycamore trees or oak trees. You're looking at in the range of probably thousands of different species of plants living in a symbiotic relationship, symbiotic meaning in a mutually beneficial, a win-win relationship with each other. And in that synergy there, that is where there's life and diversity, and nature is such an inspiring force of life and cycles of regeneration. That is the best description I can give of what the microbiome is. Now, this is just relating to the forest inside the gut in some ways. So consisting of things like bacteria and viruses and fungi and parasites, many of them being given labels that are, in essence, not helpful, scary labels. In fact, all of them are essential, and it's all about balance and about diversity. And when they work together well, and they are the stuff of life. They are the soil of our beings. Even so much to say is that as a forest grows from soil, so does these soil-based organisms, the organisms that we are supplemented by being in any environment where there's nature. We breathe it in and we take it in by eating natural organic foods where some ground, literally soil, or any microbes coming from the soil is inoculating the gut continuously. We are feeding and branching out to have the healthiest microbiome we can possibly have.
That's very interesting, comparing it to a forest or a jungle, because I've just realized that
the jungle in the gut, yes. That's the one that my mentors have used, actually. Thank you for reminding
yes.
me.
Yes, because it's because it's interesting, you use that term in another podcast I listened to. It's interesting that you refer to the terms that which are scary, because I mean, thinking that one has fungi in one's gut doesn't sound healthy.
It doesn't land so well for most people. I know it didn't for me the first time I heard it. Yeah. And you know, the reason is that one of the bigger reasons is because mainstream media is into fear mongering and bad news sells. So we have fed a steady diet of things to fear, including the whole complex world of the microbes, all these different, usually single-celled organisms, some multi-celled organisms with a tremendous amount of intelligence. This is the thing to respect. These bacteria and viruses and fungi and parasites are tremendously intelligent. And when they are balanced in a diverse environment, like the healthy forest, the healthy indigenous forest in your gut, they are the stuff of life. And yes, we know more than enough already about the bad stuff of when it goes out of balance.
Yeah. Francois, how does the microbiome break down food?
So this is a great question. One thing that I explain to a lot of people is that food, whatever you want to say, for example, I had a whey protein shake this morning. You know, that whey protein shake means absolutely zero to my liver or my brain or my heart until it's broken down into smaller and smaller and smaller molecules and actually the building blocks, amino acids, vitamins and minerals that my cells can actually use. One of the major roles of the microbiome, twofold major roles. One, breaks down big molecules to microscopic molecules that can be used for building blocks for the body. And on the second level, the microbiome also contributes to multiply the amounts of nutrition that the food supplies. Meaning when you have a healthy and a diverse amount of, let's say, bifidobacterium or lactobacilli, whichever ones you want to call that's more healthy, the well-researched probiotics, they can multiply the amount of vitamin A that you can get from a carrot by four times. So that's a random example. But with any number of certain healthy probiotics with any food, you can multiply the nutritional value because they ferment food, breaking it down, yes, but fermentation also produces more nutrition, making a otherwise diet that might be low in nutritional value something that's exceptionally high in nutritional value. So meaning you're getting more bang for your buck, you're getting more valuable or like rich, like I'm talking about financial value from food, just because the gut bacteria is good and happy and you've got, let's say, probiotics coming in by one way or another.
What are probiotics in fact?
Probiotics is a term for mainly the bacteria that has been researched and identified as being beneficial for human health. It's a scientific field, it's a medical field, and it's amazing and it's very important for humankind to be able to have access to this amount of research. But to be honest, it's an endless well of information to be able to identify every type of bacteria that is beneficial for human health, what's called different strains, like the ones I mentioned, Bifidobacterium or Lactobacilli. In essence, we start to, then that's good to take a probiotic supplement, but all the research is pointing to one direction, and that's that the best probiotics are fermented foods, fermented drinks. And having food that is grown organically or by regenerative agriculture or by permaculture farming methods. And then when you eat the food or the vegetables straight from the soil, and there's actually some ground or soil on top of it even, you eat some of that ground, eat some of that soil, all of that inoculates your gut more than the most expensive probiotic in the entire world. You're getting a better probiotic than a millionaire can buy. That's what it comes down to, if all of those puzzle pieces come together.
Yeah, just one question that came up for me. Fermented foods, would they sometimes have some soil in them?
Fermented foods, when it depends on the person that's producing it. If they, for example, are buying organic produce and they don't necessarily wash, let's say the carrots, the organically produced or the regenerative agriculture, the permaculture produced carrots, and they're not, you know, going to necessarily wash it thoroughly, like scrub it off, you know, religiously, there's going to be healthy and beneficial probiotics or microbes on that carrot. And when it's cut up and diced and made into a fermented kimchi or whatever the product might be, yes, those probiotics will be there and they will have multiplied during the lifetime of the fermentation of that food when you buy it off the store or buy it from your local fermentation business.
That's very interesting. Francois, yeah. Why do we need a diversity of probiotics for a healthy gut?
That's a real excellent question. I'm thankful you're asking me. So people get stuck on certain strains of probiotics. This is really the supplement industry that has been beneficial, but it's also because of jumping on the gravy train caused people to think, I must just get as much lactobacilli as I possibly need, or I must just get as much bifidobacterium as I can possibly get. One or two strains, maybe six or seven strains in the more expensive supplements. Whereas the gut thrives when there is a tremendous amount of different strains that work together in synergy, as is with like an indigenous forest. Let's use this analogy back to that again. One of the reasons why monocropping, like just planting a row of corn, it's very harmful for the environment because of the farming methods that are being used, the chemical farming methods, and also produces low nutritional value foods. I can go on and on to GMOs, but it's not the point of the discussion. It's also a hazard for burning because in that lack of diversity, if you start a fire, it just burns through that entire field and destroys the entire crop. Whereas if you look in an indigenous forest, if a fire starts, it usually doesn't spread very far until it stops because the amount of diversity of organisms growing actually counteracts a fire burn or felt fire from taking over. And in that same sense, a diverse amount of bacteria or organisms in your gut is a tremendous asset to supporting healthy digestion, fighting off diseases, pathogens, like the viruses or bacteria that we're concerned about or scared about. So they build towards a robust and a thriving, healthy body.
Well, that was a very interesting analogy about the veld fire.
Mm-hmm. We need more indigenous forests and we need more farming methods that are robust in the same way. Even in Native America, they had a system where they would plant three crops. I think it was called the golden triangle, where the gem squash or the pumpkin was the ground cover. And then they would plant the corn, and it would branch up. I think it's a ranker, a creeper. It would creep up the branch of the corn stalk. And then there was even a third plant that it was beans or peas.
Mm.
Oh, yes, the ground cover was just the pumpkin, and the bean would rank up. And then there was also a head of corn. And those three plants grew in tremendous synergy with each other in this particular way, so that the crop yields were so much better. This is the type of synergy that we're thinking about or can look into, and the same in a diverse farming method with many, many different types of crop.
Yeah. Now, we said that your gut is the secret of a healthy and a happy life, or one of the secrets. Let's go to being happy. And my question is, how does gut health influence brain function and mental health?
Yes, it all starts with understanding that we can't perceive anything without the nervous system. Nothing exists without the intelligence and the nervous system relaying signals to our consciousness. So we are consciously aware of anything. And the richest amount of nerve fibers is found in the gut or the gastrointestinal tract. This is where the term a gut feeling comes from. Also, it's been called intuition in other circles. And that's because before you have a conscious thought, in many circumstances, your digestive tract has already responded and given you information in terms of like, this is a good person that I've met. This is a bad person. I must be careful. I'm in a stressful situation. My gut is warning me. I'm getting frightened because of a stress or a trauma that I experienced in the past. The same also true of all the emotions we want to emphasize and grow in our lives. Like when you fall in love, it's like butterflies in the stomach.
Mm.
So the nervous system of the gut is a really important part of the nervous system. And what science has shown is that up to 80% of the hormones that influences a happy brain or a happy life, like say good hormones like joy and peace, the hormones that we need to produce that feeling called neurotransmitters, things like serotonin, for example, up to 80 or 90% of all the serotonin that we need is produced locally in the gastrointestinal tract or the gut. And then it travels from the gut to the brain to give us the mood benefits that we would love in our lives. So back in the day, this is even when I read a book, you know, one of the world experts in this field is Dr. David Perlmutter, a world-renowned neurologist. And he discovered that the gut is actually the first brain. And this is coming from one of the most recognized and successful neurologists in the entire world. He had to turn back, the neurologist meaning brain specialist, for those who don't know.
Mm.
He had to turn back and actually like humbly say, really, actually the gut is the first brain. And it actually, they're all equally important, but it starts with the gut in almost every sphere. Even the father of medicine, Hippocrates, a Greek philosopher, in one of his statements that was translated, directly quoted, said, all dis-ease begins in the gut. That's all dis-ease. And this is one of the founders of medical thinking saying this. So one of the things that I encourage all my colleagues, not just wellness practitioners, but also the medical practitioners, I encourage them, come back to those roots of Hippocrates and listen to this amazing amount of healing that we can get by recognizing that almost all dis-ease comes from the gut.
And then my next question is not so far removed from this, because I'd like to know how gut health influences our sleep patterns.
It has a tremendous role to play. In fact, it's really everything that we do that influences our sleeping pattern, just like much anything like a balanced and healthy lifestyle does. when someone for me is coming and battling with sleep, I know that their day is filled with stress and worry and many imbalanced things, eating patterns and relationships. So it's always, you know, the holistic approach. But if we would start anywhere that would have probably the most profound impact, it would be, yes, helping them to support a healthy gut. And it all plays in together. Like, for example, if you find solutions or ways to overcome the stress and anxiety that you're feeling, you're laying a foundation where the gut can heal, because the gut feels those emotions, the stress and the anxiety, more than we think. And then when those stressors are mitigated or solved, you're creating an environment where the gut can heal because it's not stressed all the time. And when an organ is stressed, it's constantly in a high adrenaline, high cortisol state, which means it's chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation means tissue does not heal. It's just inflamed and actually breaks down tissue over time. So when you take those stressors away and you cure the chronic inflammation, it paves a way where the tissue can heal. This is true of all tissue, all cells, every disease. But then same for the gut. The gut can heal. And when the gut heals, then you have access to all those hormones, neurotransmitters, that actually probably has the most profound effect on helping us to fall asleep and into a deep sleep. This is more melatonin, to be honest, but serotonin plays such a big role in terms of our mood and happiness and our appetite control during the day, so that the day is a healthy and productive and stress-free day, so that you can actually switch off the brain and fall into a deep and restful sleep at night.
Yeah, this is messing with my mind now. Because when we talk about mental health, I tend to think of the head, right? And
yes,
of people taking medication to help their brain, the top one. So what you are saying is that one should actually first start looking at the gut.
You know, it is confusing, and it was confusing for me in the beginning as well. And I'm reminded of one of the best medical experts that helped me to come to understand this. And this is Dr. Kelly Brogan. I'd encourage all the listeners to Google her. She's a conventionally trained medical doctor, went into, I believe, psychiatry. And she had prescribed medications for all of her patients with all of their mental health conditions, including herself, which also battled with her own mental health challenges. And when she discovered that the gut was actually at the root of mental health and mental illness and started taking probiotics and supporting her gut health, and her health transformed so much, she completely changed and only started treating her patients with helping them in terms of their mental health and gut health and probiotics. And she wrote many articles giving a real scorching review in terms of what the medications actually do to the brain, in terms of not being helpful, and how we can actually get the same effect in terms of, let's take in a medication. Many of the antidepressants are SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. What these medications do is that they block the pathway for serotonin to be absorbed, so that locally in the brain, more serotonin can be circulating and have that mood enhancing effect. But we've discovered that when there's a healthy amount of good bacteria in the gut, we produce all the local serotonin we would ever need. And then even if that was not happening in the gut healing will take time for many people and the gut is really damaged, you can still take amazing plant medicines that contain natural serotonin, Skeletium in South Africa being one of the top research plant medicines to enhance serotonin levels. And it's amazing natural antidepressant and an exceptional natural medicine for insomnia. So we can really look into the like more nutritional and natural medicine-based solutions for these challenges people are facing and really battling with.
And Francois, when someone comes to you with a really damaged gut, how do you discover that? And can it take very long to heal?
You know, one of the things that I tell my patients is that, why did you come to see me today? Because, you know, we come with one specific health condition And it might be heart disease, it might be Alzheimer's or whatever the disease label is. And it's important to stop and reflect, like, why did it start there? Why did it start in my heart? Why did it start in my brain? Because so much of it is rooted actually in the emotional experiences we've had and the traumas we've had that has affected those organs on an energetic level. Like the heart represents potentially when we were heartbroken and we were not loved like we wanted to be loved. We, you know, these feelings come up. This is more in terms of the mental emotional link of diseases. And then many of them, they do come to me because they know that the gut is really damaged and hurting, and they're not digesting food well, and their bathroom habits is irregular, or they're constipated. And then in so many of those cases, we go to the emotions as well, because the gut and the brain is so deeply linked with our emotions especially. And typically we discuss to overcome the traumas and the hurts that they've perceived in their lives. And then I do provide them with many of the opportunities for healing that can be taken by changing diet, changing lifestyle. And then I let my patients choose what they want to change, because I believe that every patient or every person, every human being is their own best doctor. All the solutions are already in front of them and their body's already been communicating with them. Otherwise, we would not have a symptom. Otherwise, we would not have a dis-ease. It didn't fall from the sky, you know, it wasn't random. It's there for a reason. And when my patients and clients come to understand that, and I'm a facilitator for their healing, they just become their own best healer. And yes, then the natural medicines and supplements, if needed, come along to just accelerate that journey.
So what you do is help them interpret what they feel and experience. I mean, on a physical level, but then you also connect it to the emotional level.
That is a great way of describing it. I believe my role is to help people to understand themselves better and to also be in touch with themselves. Because the societies that we live in is so rushed, so stressful, so out of sync with nature that we've lost touch with ourselves, and we don't stop to really listen to what the symptoms are trying to tell us. And when we can be in a space where we come to that understanding of why did this happen to me, or why am I feeling this way? And we have those eureka moments, you know, those aha moments. Oh, yes, I'm actually having a cramp or a stomach ulcer because my father hit me when I was 10 years old and it made me hate myself. And ever since then, I've had knots in my stomach, my gut. And when they heal from that trauma and that experience, so does the gut and so does the nervous system and every other system, usually from those same roots. This is the root cause of most disease, trauma and emotions.
Yeah, and I'm sure that is a topic for another day.
Yes, but I'm glad we could touch on it, because for me, I'm very grateful to have grown up in a specialized field of gut health, gut and brain health, really, because they've always been connected and this is how I specialized. But the deeper I go is that these are solutions I freely received, a free gift since I was 2 years old. I'm a beneficiary of all this amazing natural healing, and I don't deserve it. So the best thing I feel I can do is I can educate our audiences on what is the root causes so they can heal themselves.
I can imagine, Francois, that people may think they have problems, but if they have to go that deep, it seems to them that it might be overwhelming. How do you support your patients on this journey?
That's a great insight. That is definitely where many people land. And what I reflect on is just that there's a time and a season for everything. If that's your experience, it means it's probably not the right time or season for you to delve into that too deeply. But it doesn't mean you can't plan to put yourself in a space or a time, or like a weekend away or a retreat or a holiday where you do have the capacity to delve into these things. Even if it takes years to get to that point, it's still going to be worth the rest of your life because these are people's lives we're talking about. It's also never too late. It doesn't matter when you start. So creating capacity is important. I know most of my patients are married and have kids, and it's the school and it's the deadlines and it's the mom working and it's the father working and it's the traffic and it's the fear of crime. And, you know, it's endless if you focus on those things.
Mm.
What can we do to create capacity and support so that the people of, in our communities can actually step back and rest and relax, because that's where healing starts. I worked in Thailand for 2 years at a wellness retreat and spa, an amazing space of healing. Why? Because everything was taken care of for our clients. Their rooms were clean for them. The restaurant was one of the best restaurants in the entire world. And then the gardens were meticulously cleaned and were beautiful. And people could just relax, just be. And that's where healing takes place, when you have support and you have a relaxed space to do so. And for many of us, like those clients we had from all over the world, they needed to maybe plan a year in advance. Just that was kind of like, also we were booked up in terms of almost a year in advance as well. But then also they could plan out the amount of time and put aside the finances so they could fly through and have a week away where, you know, you can heal fast in a space like that in 1 week than you might be able to heal in the city life, or that would take you for maybe many, many months.
What I get from this is that you are saying, in the first place, it's never too late. And in the second place, that if you really feel you are in need of healing and deep healing, and you go to a holistic practitioner like yourself, it doesn't mean you will have to address everything within 3 weeks and, you know, get toppled over by everything coming your way.
That's so true. You know, one of the things that in the beginning of my practice, I know I wasn't so kind to my clients, or even kind to myself, because this was my mindset. I felt like we both, this relationship between client and doctor, or patient and myself, practitioner, we needed to fix things as fast as possible. And, you know, as I've matured in my profession, especially my mindset shift after working in Thailand and coming back in the last 4 years, I've recognized that why would I put standards on my patients that I know if I was in their seat, I could not fulfill. And this is where, with the coaching especially, it's a discussion towards what are you willing to do? What would you like to do? And in fact, in more cases than not, when I see my patients are overachievers and go-getters, like many of them are successful people, I tell them, you know, actually, I'm going to be the voice of reason and say, maybe that's too fast. It would be amazing if we could heal your gut in 1 month, but why not give it 3 months? Why not give it 6 months? Mm. What have you got to lose by taking it a bit slower?
Mm.
And in fact, that's realistic in one level, but on an actual peak performance level, it actually heals better and faster when you give it more time, because the key to healing is getting the body in a restful state.
Mm.
Because when you're in a restful state means that we are not flushed with all these inflammatory hormones and adrenaline and cortisol that actually is an obstacle, if not in fact a barrier to healing. The body always heals itself. We just need to remove those barriers to healing. And stress is one of them, one of the biggest ones.
Yes, I'm sure you have that in almost every conversation you have with patients.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Yeah, I really like the way you approach this by saying that one has to create a space of calm and safety. Because if one thinks about that knot on the stomach, this is completely the opposite.
and it's also important to say that's okay, that's the way it is. You know, it's very rare for me to even come on in a conversation like this and not have some or many knots in my stomach. I think every public speaker maybe has that.
Yes.
And what I've just recognized is, like, I recognize it and I speak about it.
Yes.
I'm not going to keep silent about it. I listen to my body and I'm saying, thank you, God, for speaking to me. I know this is maybe a bit challenging for you to speak again to so many people, but then the more I'm gracious and kind to myself, even when I speak about it, it usually dissipates immediately.
Yes.
So also, you know, speaking our truth, or speaking about what's going on in our lives, it's as powerful as any form of healing that I've ever seen.
Yes, and I think when you have someone like you, like a practitioner who invites you to do that and who listens respectfully, I think that that even enhances the effect.
If anything that I've learned is that people, well, each person is their own best healer. The doctor of the future is you, in the words of Dr. Sachin Patel, an amazing functional medicine doctor that I listened to on his podcast channel. And it's really that I've also learned from many of the more, let's say, holistically minded or natural minded psychiatrists and psychologists. And this has also been proven by so many scientific research that's has been coming out for many years now. It's actually the relationship that heals people, meaning yes, the advice about changing this in their life, or yes, maybe the prescription of the medication was very helpful. But at the end of the day, relationship, meaning conversations that help us to trust each other, but actually for the person to trust themselves enough to also speak and say what and process and come to an understanding, is actually what heals us. So you could actually say deep, meaningful connections or deep, meaningful relationships is what heals us as well. And I'm grateful that my journey has helped me to come to that understanding and really start to understand how complex and unique each person is. So they can actually, with conversation, heal themselves. And I'm very grateful to have seen so many of those, you could say, turnarounds or healings take place from conversation sometimes alone.
Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you, Francois. Before I ask you for practical gut tips, gut health tips, could you tell us where listeners can learn more about your work or contact you?
The easiest way to find out more about what I do is to search in Google for me on drfranchudetoué.com. That if they just search Dr. Francois de Touet, that D-R, not the full doctor, that just D-R, Francois, F-R-A-N-C-O-I-S, and space D-U, space T-O-I-T. They'll find all my resources on my website, but they'll also come across my Facebook channel and Instagram channel with the same name or the same handle, as the young people keep using the word. And I share a ton of free health resources in terms of the seminars and webinars and workshops that I do that I record and then publish for free. And I've published them for free for many, many years on those platforms already.
Right. I will attach the link to your website to this podcast, and then in the podcast notes, I will include the social media channels. And if someone is listening to this podcast on a platform like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, then you can just look for the link which says this episode's podcast notes. And if you click on that, you will also get the rest of the information. Now, Francois, do you have any practical tips for us on how to support our gut in the best way?
I would definitely provide a lot of practical tips. And one of them is actually to understand that we will be drawn to the solution that works the best for us when we take the time to stop and listen and really think about our lives. I'm thinking about a quote from a Greek philosopher whose name I keep forgetting, but he basically said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." So when we examine our lives and we think about like, what is the one thing that I could do that can change my health the most? Or let's say this example, the one thing I can do that can change my gut health the most. And if I start doing it a little bit every single day, taking baby steps, what type of influence could it have? This is the same principle as the lowest hanging fruit. What is the easiest thing that I can reach out for and grab that's going to make a change? For many people, it's an awareness that stress and anxiety is the biggest role in causing inflammation and causing dis-ease, including inflammation and damage to the gut, which is called leaky gut. So I would usually say, think about mindfulness, think about meditation, think about breath work, think about spending time in nature where it's calm and peaceful. And then you actually create a space or a foundation for healing. But I'm sure many people are thinking about more practical, like what I can eat and do. So I would also say, start delving into fermented foods. Start looking at kimchi and naturally fermented sauerkraut or naturally fermented drinks like kombucha or water kefir. In fact, one of the most healing foods for the gut is a goat's milk kefir. Kefir as being an ancient form of fermented milk, or the original yogurt, the original fermented dairy. This is research, or at least popularized by Dr. Axe, one of the leading leaky gut healing experts in the world. And this has been replicated in many areas of the world, including in South Africa, where I scroll through WhatsApp forums. And I read through one lady's testimonial where she had in the range of 20 different diseases. It was a list as long as my arm. And she said, as soon as I started on the goat's milk kefir for a month, I cut those diseases by half. And I started healing from almost all of them as I went on this goat's milk kefir longer. So yes, fermented foods and drinks, so powerful. And I think those are good places for our listeners to start.
And Francois, if someone has no idea where to find these products, what would you suggest?
Get in touch with your local producers of natural products. Usually a lot of this is stocked by the health food stores or the health shops, as we call them. Mm. Usually they are the most wise and connected, naturally minded people. So even going to the health shop to say, like, where can I buy this? If they don't have it, they share a person. So many businesses like this started during lockdown or the COVID time, where people started producing their own fermented foods and drinks from home, and many of them started making really successful businesses. So the health food store can connect you to people like that. And then if at all possible, find out where your local farmer's market is. And even if it takes you, you know, an hour or many hours to drive there, it's going to be worth the wait and goal to reach that community of like-minded people. And then definitely you'll have access to all those foods and fermented products that you'd be looking for.
Thank you, Francois. May I ask you a fun question?
Yes, please.
If you were a creature living in the water, what would you like to be?
Funnily enough, I'm thinking now about being a dolphin. Yeah. I think there's such freedom in the way they surf waves. I'm a bodyboarder myself. I'm like, if I can learn to surf like them, I'd be the happiest creature in the whole world.
That sounds wonderful. So thank you, Francois, for your time and expertise and for shedding light on our gut. I have learned a lot about my gut, and I hope my gut is happy that I'm a little more informed at this stage.
I definitely know that would be the case. I know I've also received even more healing in terms of accepting that as we all get jitters and some stage fright and stressors, we're all human and it's good to speak about it.
Thank you very much. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series where you download your podcasts. And if you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series Calm, Clear, and Helpful is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.